Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM welcome you to new episodes of Your Stories, Our Community. We will be interviewing people from a diverse range of backgrounds and life experiences from around the Harvey area. 12 current volunteer Harvey Community Radio announcers will conduct the interviews, and station manager Ian Taylor will coordinate the project and is the producer of the recordings. Harvey Community Radio is thankful for the financial support for the project by the Community Broadcasting Foundation and the Shire of Harvey. Welcome to Your Stories, Our Community. My name is Ian, and I would like to introduce Margaret Carboni to Your Stories, Our Community. Welcome, Margaret.
Hello, Ian. It's lovely to be here.
And it's lovely to have you on board. Margaret, how long have you been in the Harvey area, and what was the reason for you coming here in the first place?
I was born at Harvey Hospital. I now live in Brunswick, but I grew up in Harvey. I've lived here and worked in the area all my life. I love the area, so here I am.
What about a little bit about yourself and your growing up story?
I was born in Harvey. I grew up here. I'm the child of Italian immigrants, and I was lucky to grow up in a big, loving, generous Italian family. And I still have family in Harvey. Even though I live in Brunswick, I come to Harvey to see them a couple of times a week. I went to school at St. Anne's and Harvey High School, made some great friends there. I played local basketball, netball, tennis. As I got older, the Creative Arts Centre, which used to be the old Catholic Church, had jazz ballet classes and a pottery studio, so I did some pottery there. When I left school, I worked in banking, so I started off at Westpac Bank, and all my banking jobs were actually in Harvey. So I worked at Westpac. I worked at the old Home Building Society, which some people might remember. It actually amalgamated with Bank of Queensland after a few years. I did a little bit of work at the National Australia Bank, but my last banking job was at Bendigo Bank in Harvey. And I was very involved also in the community, which I'd love to do, through my church group. I was the secretary of the church group, and I also ran the youth group there. I was the publicity officer for the tennis club. I was involved in the Dairy Festival, which some people might remember. I was sort of the host and compare of the fashion parades and that
sort of thing. I'm sure a lot of people would remember.
Oh, it was a great occasion for Harvey. And then through that, I became the compare of local fundraising quiz nights and also church events. And we used to obviously, go to Harvey Show. I used to exhibit now and then to support Harvey Show if I had something to exhibit. Doing all this, one of the great things that I remember was the Fellowship of Australian Writers held a workshop in Harvey, what was then the CWA Hall, which I think might be where the Lions Club meet now on Hayward Street. And through that, I put the word out and we started the Harvey Writers Group. So I attended the workshop, we put an ad in the Harvey Reporter, and then I started up this writers group, and we used to meet every month, and I still love my writing. I've been lucky to have some poetry published. But my passion back in the day was travelling. So then I worked, and I was fortunate enough to travel a bit. I went around Europe and did some travelling, and then I met my husband and moved to Brunswick.
Okay, well, you certainly have got a history in Harvey.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and I still have a connection here, which I love.
And with the writing, did you do a bit of travel writing?
I did a bit of travel writing. I made a few notes while I was there. That was sort of just for myself. Yeah, but, you know, I got some inspiration for, you know, things that I was writing then. I actually started a novel after travelling, which I never did get to finish. So maybe I'll do that one day. Maybe I'll finish my novel.
That could be a good one.
Yeah. Got a few ideas from travelling around.
Oh, thanks for that, Margaret. That's a great rundown of your early life, Harvey.
Yes, thank you.
Ah, very nice. What are the things about the Harvey area that you really think are special to you?
Harvey has a great sense of community, which I really like. I believe that it's very welcoming. People look out for each other in terms of if someone needs help, they rally around. They say hello to strangers and visitors. It's also a beautiful area. The beach is not far away. There's lovely places to walk around Harvey, even just the streets, the tree-lined avenues. And, you know, the hills and the scenery is beautiful. But, yeah, I just think the area is beautiful. And now I live in Brunswick, which is the same. You can see from where I live, I can see the beautiful hills and I can sort of walk up there and it's, again, not far from the beach.
Yeah, we're very lucky with the mountains on one side and the fields and then the beach on the other.
Really, yes, yeah. Sometimes I think, you know, when we're growing up, well, when I was growing up, you know, these are the things you take for granted until you get older and you know better and, yeah, you realise where you are.
So very true. What about the main things in life that you enjoy doing the most on a personal basis?
Well, on a personal basis, I'd say probably the main thing I enjoy doing is spending time with family and friends. I like my job. I mentioned that I started off my working life in banking, and then a few years ago I became an Italian language teacher, and I work in primary schools now teaching Italian language and culture, which is really good. So, yeah, I love to do that. I'm still involved in the community. Where I live in Brunswick, there is opportunities for community involvement, and I'm happy to be part of that. And that's also a great community, like Harvey. Very people come together when something needs to be done. I love listening to music, and I do like going for a walk and spending time in nature as well.
A lovely way to pass the time, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
What were the most challenging things for you during the past 2 years of COVID-19?
Before COVID-19, we had the freedom to come and go, and then we had, you know, regional closures and lockdowns. It's interesting to note how quickly things can change. I think we're more aware now of, you know, hospitals being crowded and after we've saw what happened overseas. But more challenging for me was not seeing family, I think, because when the lockdown was on, our eldest daughter, two of them were studying in Perth and one was working. So the ones that were studying, the uni closed down. And so the children, my children came home and were doing uni online, I guess. But my eldest, she was working, so she had to stay in Perth. And because the regions were closed, we couldn't see her for a while. But that was okay. We were just glad that she was safe. I also had some probably not challenging but interesting conversations on the vaccine, everyone respecting each other's views. But, yeah, there were some interesting conversations which I guess could have come across as challenging depending on who was involved in the conversation.
It was quite contentious, wasn't it?
Yes, it was quite contentious for a while. But, yeah, I was interested to see not only people's views but also a great respect for each other's views, which was really good.
And what about before COVID-19? Do you think there were some things we all or you took for granted?
Yes, I think we, yeah, did take for granted the freedom to come and go. When we, you know, we weren't supposed to be going anywhere, I was only going out once a week to get shopping for myself and for my mum. And I think at that time we were only supposed to go out to get fuel, groceries and medical appointments. It was interesting, you know, having to stay home all the time. That sort of put a different spin on things. It was good having the family at home. Hubby was also working from home at the time.
Yeah, it was a very interesting time, wasn't it, with that? A lonely time as well.
I think people, yeah, did get lonely. I did see a great reaching out to people in the community, like even people who, you know, don't use social media or don't have, you know, a mobile phone or whatever. I did see people, you know, people were ringing each other, neighbours, and saying, do you need bread and milk dropped at your door, or just ringing for a chat. And I know in Brunswick, the local bakery, there was a shortage of yeast. If anyone remembers, there was a shortage of yeast back then because people were making their own bread at home. And the bakery was kindly allocating us a bit of yeast from the bakery if we wanted it.
It's a bit like World War II days, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sort of going back to that era of it was a very strange time, wasn't it?
Well, our generation has been fortunate to never live through times of rations or restrictions, and now, you know, suddenly this was upon us. So I think it was a challenge for a lot of us.
And what about highlights during that time, Margaret? Probably a strange question to ask after the previous questions, but yeah.
Highlights would have been, I did enjoy having the kids at home and my husband. We just had one, like I said, one of our three children wasn't able to be home. But we actually liked living and working from home, being all together. We sort of spent more time together rather than being apart. And, you know, I actually used to spend a bit more time in the garden. I'm not much of a gardener and I've only got a small garden, but I did find pleasure in the little things. Like, I remember pruning the lemon tree and I had some music on that I was listening to while I was just pruning the lemon tree and cleaning up the garden. Yeah, it was actually nice to have the time to do that.
Yeah, a nice change of pace.
Yes, it was. Yeah, we should slow down a bit more, I think, in life. But, you know, we've always got something to do. But, yeah, it was great to have the kids at home, and it was great to be all together at home with hubby and I not having to go to work.
Family time.
Yes.
So very important. Okay, Margaret, we're going to have a song. We're going to have a short music break. And what have you chosen for us today?
I've chosen a song that's actually an Italian song, but there's a few versions of this. The song is called Al di là, which I guess translates to beyond the beyond. It's a romantic song which says, beyond the beyond, there is you for me. So it's quite a romantic song. The artist I've chosen is Patrizio Buane, who is an Italian singer, but this version is sung half in English. So I thought we might like to listen to it because it's half English, half Italian.
Thank you. And here it is.
Al di là means you are far above me, very far. Al di là, as distant as the lovely evening star. Where you are, the flowers bloom. When you smile, all the gloom turns to sunshine, and my heart opens wide. When you're gone, it fades inside and seems to have died. Al di là, I wondered as I drifted where you were. Al di là, the fog around me lifted, there you were. In the kiss that I gave was the love I had saved for a lifetime. That I knew all of you was complete. Ci sei tu. Al di là del sogno più ambizioso, ci sei tu. Al di là delle cose più belle, al di là delle stelle. Più profondo ci sei tu, al di là dei limiti del mondo. al di là della volta infinita, al di là della vita, ci sei tu, al di là, ci sei tu per me. La 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 la, la 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 la, al di là.
And welcome back, listeners. What a lovely song, Margaret.
It's difficult to choose a song because there's so many lovely ones, but that is one of my favourites.
Yeah, we're spoilt with choice these days, aren't we?
Yes, that's right.
Did you or any of your family members suffer directly from COVID-19, and what were those experiences like?
So hubby and I have three children, as I mentioned, and four out of the five of us got COVID. I got it myself. We did have flu-like symptoms. Yeah, we had a lot of aches and pains probably. Well, I know I did. Yeah, so it was quite, I think my son got it first. I got it, I'm pretty sure I got it from work, and then hubby got it about a month later. But we, fortunately, we were able to... while we had COVID, we slept in separate rooms, so we did have enough room, yeah, to sort of split up. But, yeah, we were quite careful, and we had prepared because, you know, we'd been told to prepare with sort of items to keep areas clean and wipe over, and, yeah, so we had that sort of stuff in the house. I can probably say I think the requirement might be 5 days to isolate now, if there is one at all. But I think I needed a good 10 days to get over it. I've fortunately only had it once. But, yeah, I think, you know, 10 days is not too long for a person to need to get over it, because I suppose it depends how severe.
Well, that's right. It affected so many people differently.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's true. Some people said they had no symptoms, didn't they? Whereas some people, yeah, felt like they had the flu. So, yeah, so four out of five of us.
And apart from the direct side effects of COVID, have you or someone you know had other side effects such as a feeling of loneliness or isolation?
I know people who were quite wary after COVID arrived in WA. They wouldn't go out or mix with others. The ones I know were living with family who helped them, so they weren't isolated. Yeah, but I do know of people who found it difficult to not go anywhere and sort of had to come to terms with having to stay home or only going to the shop only. They, you know, they weren't going to the footy, or they weren't going to something that they used to go to all the time, and the time that they would take for themselves, they couldn't sort of do that anymore. So I think it did affect people in that way.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock to their system, I think.
Yeah, and especially if, you know, we were so lucky. This is, yeah, another thing we took for granted. We'd say, I'll go to the footy on Sunday, or, you know, I'm going to go to my yoga class, or I'm going to go to watch the kids' sports carnival. Well, that got cancelled, so it wasn't on.
What do you think are the main things that have changed for you over the last three COVID years?
I think I've got a raised awareness of how quickly things can change. Also an increased level of gratitude for my community and for living here, where people know and help each other, and not in the city, not to say the city people don't help each other, but here we know our neighbours well. We know probably half the town, or, you know, most of the people in town. I know people would contact each other by phone or social media to see if they were okay. And, you know, there was a lot of people contacting. I know my own street, there's people who live on their own. And, you know, we'd all be saying, oh, do you want bread and milk dropped at your door or at your letterbox? Or, you know, we'll drop off a casserole. But even just ringing them to, you know, have a chat, bearing in mind that they lived on their own and were getting quite lonely. So I think there's a raised awareness of that. But for me, yeah, I'm more wary of how quickly things can change.
Yeah, and be preparation as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're just all, you know, plodding along, and we've been so lucky in Australia. We haven't had, you know, really any wars or famines or anything like that. So, yeah, I think it's been a different experience for my generation for sure.
What about your priorities? Have they changed during the last 2 years, and what would they include now?
I'd say they're not greatly changed. I think we are more aware and grateful for what we have, including friends and community. But I'd say my priorities are probably the same. I still value family and friends and community.
In a lovely community like Harvey.
Yes, indeed.
And what do you think has changed for the Harvey area and society, or Harvey society in general, during the last 2 years?
Locally and in society, I think there's more awareness of banding together. There's been a re-evaluation of what's important, plus being thankful. A lot of people, I think, we're now sort of a bit more thankful and aware and not taking so much for granted. We're thankful for what we have. I know, when I'd go call into the Brunswick shop, and there was a bit of a disquiet in the community. Like, people were wary, but we were all trying to keep our distance, and we were keeping our distance at the same time saying to the person, do you need anything? Like, can I drop something off for you? Or, are you right to carry that to the car? Or, do you need a lift? But I think in the back of our minds, we were thinking, do we want another person sitting in our car?
But, so very
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
There was sort of discontentment. There was everything. It was a real mixed bag.
It was a mixed bag. We were trying to keep safe, but by the same time, look out for our fellow man.
Yeah, which most people did very well. And I've also found now that the sense of friendship is warmer and closer than ever.
Yes,
and people are so much more happier.
Yeah, I think I think myself and, people I know, we sort of realise it's an opportunity to re-evaluate how we spend our time. Do we want to work a bit more, or do we want to spend it with our family or our friends, or, take time for ourselves?
Good answer, which takes me on to the next question. Do you think we are a more resilient society now than what we were before COVID-19?
I don't know if resilient is the right word, but society in general has an increased willingness to help each other, to stick together. I think they know now that they can rely on each other and ask for help when needed. So I guess that does make us more resilient. And not only that, to get on with what needs to be done, and also to band together, like, for the common good. I think there was a saying going around during the height of COVID, we're all in this together. And I think people really took note of that, and they thought, if we can, we are trying to look out for ourselves, but also if we can help each other, we will.
Yeah, and I've noticed with sporting clubs and community clubs in general, more determined to make it work because of what we've been through.
It's been a good learning curve. Not, we wouldn't wish COVID. We want it to go away, but if anything good has come out of it, people want to get things done, and they have a bit of they know that it can happen. They've actually gained a bit of confidence from banding together, I think.
Are you optimistic for the future? And what are some of your hopes and dreams for the coming years?
My hopes, I hope COVID stays away for good. But yes, I am optimistic. I think an increased sense of gratitude is a good thing. And also knowing we can rely on each other in difficult times. It was wonderful to see my own neighbours and community reach out to each other and offer help and ask for help. This was a big positive in the negative situation of COVID, and I think this will continue. We're even seeing more people continue to work partly from home because they want to be with their families, and they are able to in their job, and they've realised that there's no need to go to work every day. They have the opportunity to work partly from home. There might be a little thing there where we have to realise, we have to knock off at a certain time. Sometimes we can get stuck into our work and not realise that it's time to knock off. However, it's nice for people to be at home a bit more. And I have seen, I know friends of mine who now work partly from home after COVID.
And how are they coping with it?
Yeah, they love it. because they just if they can do something online, they don't have to use the car. They can do it in their pajamas, and you know, they can at lunchtime they can just go to the kitchen and grab a bite to eat, and then yeah, go back to work. So yeah, they really enjoy, I think, and then they're there, I guess, when their kids get home from school, or if they have to leave work for something, they can. It's a bit easier. So I think it's been a big positive, even though, yeah, a lot of negatives to COVID. But, yeah, a few of the positives were people can work partly from home now. It's been made available to them. And everyone's got an increased sense of gratitude, which is really good, and can rely on each other in difficult times.
Yeah, and as you say, working from home, I think a lot of it is common sense has prevailed, because it makes sense to work from home when you can.
A lot of the larger companies, people would go to work and be in their desk job, and you know, basically it was online work or paperwork or looking at documents. So people that work from home, they might work from home 2 or 3 days a week and do the other work. When they go into work, they can, you know, exchange documents or find out other information, and then they can be at home and still do their work while being there for their families as well.
Yeah, the flexibility has been wonderful to, change it around a little bit and make it a lot easier for a lot of people.
The essential workers were really, you know, did not have that option. And, you know, we've been applauding the essential workers since COVID came along. I think, you know, they've always been so good. I don't think we've ever taken them for granted, maybe the health workers, but maybe we didn't really value them as much as we should. During COVID, you know, they were away from their families a lot, and they obviously don't have the option to work from home. But they also, what they did, they know that it was highly appreciated, and it is, continues to be highly appreciated.
It certainly is, and what a wonderful job they did through that trying time. That concludes our chat for today. Thank you for sharing your story on Your Stories, Our Community on Harvey Community Radio, 96.5 FM. What song have you chosen to take us out today, and an explanation about what it means to you, please?
Well, I've been talking about unity, acceptance, tolerance, gratitude, and the country of Australia, you know, banding together as one community. So this song's a contrast from the first one I chose. It's I Am Australian by The Seekers. I tossed up between this and I Still Call Australia Home by Peter Allen, but I've chosen this one, I Am Australian, because, you know, we live in a multicultural community. The Southwest is very multicultural, and I think it's a wonderful song. Yeah, this is the Seekers version, which is a great version of this song.
Thanks again, Margaret.
Thank you. Thank you, Harvey Community Radio.
And here we are with I Am Australian.
I come from the dreamtime, from the dusty red soil plain. I am the ancient heart, the keeper of the flame. I stood upon the rocky shores, I watched the tall ships come. For 40,000 years I've been the first Australian. I came upon the prison ship, bowed down by iron chains. I cleared the land, endured the lash, and waited for the rains. I'm a settler, I'm a farmer's wife, on a dry and barren run. A convict, then a free man, I became Australian.
The daughter of a digger who stopped the mine load. The girl became a woman on the long and dusty road. I'm a child of the Depression.
I saw the good times come.
I'm a bushy, I'm a battler.
I'm a teller of stories. I'm a singer of songs. I am Albert Namatjira, and I paint the ghostly gums. I'm Clancy on his horse. I'm Ned Kelly on the run. I'm the one who waltzed Matilda. I am Australian.
I'm the hot wind from the desert. I'm the black soil of the plains. I'm the mountains and the valleys. I'm the drought and flooding rains.
I am the rock. I am the sky. The rivers when they run. The spirit of this great land. I am Australian.
Share a dream.